been a big year for Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Chiara Alegría-Hudis. In the Heights, the film she produced and co-wrote with Lin-Manuel Miranda, opened in June, and in April she published My Broken Language, a deeply personal memoir about growing up in Philadelphia with her vibrant Puerto Rican mother and her abuela, her grandmother, on whose steps she heard the stories that would inspire her art. I spoke with Chiara Alegría-Hudis about the memoir when it came out. And I want to start by asking you about the title of your memoir, which is kind of surprising for a playwright who actually has such great command of language. You write language, you write dialogue for a living. So why did you call your memoir My Broken Language?
Well, there's a passage later in the book where I talk about getting to Brown University and I want to be a playwright. And my mentor is Paula Vogel, and she's won Pulitzers, and she's this amazing creature full of creativity and luminosity. And she says to me, she looks me right in the eye and she says, if your Spanish is broken, because she knows my background, she knows I come from a mixed Puerto Rican family. She says, your Spanish is broken, then write your broken Spanish. And it's amazing what a little permission does to just open up someone's heart. So that was the permission I needed to take my broken languages and build something new. And you know, English, which is my first language and I'm most comfortable in, it's not the right language to describe all of me. So I'm stuck and it's a problem. And I'm looking for other languages to describe all of who I am.
So this sort of mishmash of languages in your childhood comes partly out of having a white father and a Latina mother. Her family is from Puerto Rico. And early in your life, you write about how it was very common in your West Philadelphia neighborhood to have friends who were also mixed race children. But then later when your parents split, it seems as though you're sort of pulled increasingly between two separate worlds. How did that experience shape you, do you think?
All of a sudden, the two different cultural elements of my life were 60 miles apart from each other and had nothing to do with each other. And that's when the division in my life began. And I started to experience my two cultures as separate family experiences, as separate social experiences. And that separation was sobering and oftentimes very upsetting to me.
You write very eloquently and actually very painfully about the day that your father remarried. He married a white woman, and being left out of a family picture that day seemed like an impactful experience in your life. Did that contribute to feeling like an outsider beyond just that day?
During my dad's remarriage, I get upset and I run away and I run into the woods and I make a pact with the woods that I'm going to keep quiet and swallow my upsetness and try to find safe spaces where nothing can hurt me. Those spaces where nothing could hurt me would be like Abuela's staircase, and I'd be sitting on the staircase kind of watching in awe at a safe distance as my cousins threw down dancing merengue and bachata on the 4th of July. Like, I would always find a kind of safe remove and kind of numb myself. But at the same time, those safe spaces often let me kind of be an eavesdropper, an observer of life, which came in handy when I decided to become a writer because I had really paid a lot of attention.
You know, that phrase you mentioned a moment ago really stands out to me, that you made a pact with the woods, the sort of personification of nature. That comes from your mother, doesn't it? The way that she practiced religion and spirituality. You write about that.
She was a spiritual genius. I don't know another way to describe it. She understood the way spirits worked. For instance, she was an herbalist, and so she taught me how to I was kind of her assistant in making her herb garden. Later in my life, after my parents separated and I was a pre-adolescent, she goes even deeper into her spiritual gifts and becomes a priestess of Jango in the Lukumi Afro-Caribbean tradition.
What's interesting to me, Chiara, is the way that even as your mother is so in tune with her spiritual life, she's also firmly rooted in earthly matters in the sense that she's an activist. In fact, she helps start a center in your Philadelphia neighborhood to help lower infant mortality, among other causes.
Her concern was what we said Hispanic at that time, Hispanic women's health. And so she would take immigrant Latinas to the gynecologist for the first time. She would help women who were undocumented deliver babies safely in hospitals without fear of deportation. And so while my mother was kind of this amazing, looming spiritual genius to me, she was also a really like in the community making stuff happen, trying to help people leader. And so to me, naturally, those things went hand in hand.
You and your mother, you seem to share so many qualities, but you also write about one key difference between the two of you, which was your complexion. There's this powerful scene in your childhood where the feminist Gloria Steinem comes to visit the center where your mother works, and you take note that your own lighter skin more closely resembles your mother's white bosses than your mother's skin. And Gloria Steinem is meeting literally behind a glass wall with only white staffers there. The women of color who work in the center are left out of this meeting. And you wonder which side of the glass you would belong on.
There were so many instances like that in my life. And I think oftentimes mixed race and mixed ethnicity people are told to choose one side to identify with. And those were moments when I felt like, well, what would I choose in that moment? And I think at a certain point in my writing life, I felt there was so much invisibility in the Perez side of my family. There was so much untold history. I did make a choice. I made a really conscious choice. And I said, I'm writing this. This is the best book I have never read. And so that was the choice I made as a storyteller.
You know, I have to ask about one other really painful chapter in your memoir that just so stands out. It's an episode where your mother discovers a scar that she previously had not noticed on her own mother, your grandmother. And the history of this is that your grandmother had lived in Arecibo in Puerto Rico, and unbeknownst to her at the time, she and others who accepted vouchers for what they thought was going to be birth control were actually sterilized, and that this was a widespread practice. I bring it up because it reminds me of the conversation that we're having today in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of a vaccine rollout, looking at the history of medical abuses, including the Tuskegee experiments on Black Americans. And it made me wonder what that legacy is in the Latinx community, whether you see any distrust of the medical profession that's rooted in things like that sterilization program.
It's anecdotal because it's the women in my family and women who are friends. But I think the vibe was just like, okay, you know what? Like, we'll take the vaccine, but we don't want to go first. We don't want to be the test round. So after they had seen that the vaccines were going okay and were being administered well, it was like, okay, now we can go. Now we feel a little safer.
Understandably, that concern about being used as guinea pigs.
Yeah.
So now you've released this memoir as we are still in the midst of a pandemic, and it's looking back, but I will note, unless you decide that you're hanging it up early, Kiara, that you probably have quite a bit of career left, even though you're taking a pause right now to write a memoir and look back. I wonder what we should expect to come next from you and how you're looking at the future of stage plays, because we're coming off of a year plus now where you haven't had what I imagine is the highlight of your experiences, seeing your work staged in front of a live audience.
I felt really at home writing this memoir, and I would like to keep writing prose if it's memoirs or essays. It was a really nice change for me. I have been playwriting for 15 years, writing off-Broadway, on-Broadway. And I love the plays because it's collaborative and you're working with bodies in space, and that's a sacred practice. I love it so much. But there is a quiet in writing a book that let me be so introspective. So I'm not ready to pivot back to stage quite yet, but I am working on some stage projects. So that's what's next.
Kiara Alegría-Hudi's memoir is called My Broken Language. Kiara, thank you.
Thank you.